Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. My name's Kurt Wilson, I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and today is August the 2nd in the year 2020, and welcome to my show. Now, there's a lot of you out there who are listening one way or another, but let me give you the other ways you can listen to my show. I'm on every single podcast venue you can dream of. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Podbean, I'm even on YouTube, Google platforms, Apple platforms, I'm everywhere. I'm on Globalstar 3 satellite. You can also listen to me in my chat room at armchairsurvivalist.com/chat.html. The link's on any of the pages there. Just go to armchairsurvivalist.com and you will find it all. You can also listen on your phone. It's not toll-free. So it's your dime, if there is a dime. Most of the phone plans that everybody has nowadays is free calling. Area code 641-741-0371. That's 641 area code 741-0371. If you miss the show, just let's say it's Monday and you miss the show and you go, ah, damn it. Well, go to armchairsurvivalist.com. Top of the page, you'll see this this link. It says, listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click here. Boom, you do that, you'll hear the most recent show. Or you can go to the left-hand side of the page, and there's a little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You click on that, and that takes you to the Armchair Survivalist past shows. And they're all dated there from January 5th, 2020, all the way up to July 26th. You click on that, download, yeah, do as you wish. I put all the shows for the current year on that page. All right, so there's all kinds of different ways you can listen to me. It's up to you how you do it. Okay, so we got to get some news out of the way for the company. The mini Sawyer water filters are back. Most of you know what do they call them? The Life Straw is. It's a blue tube, and they claim that they are sold all over the world. There's millions of them out there. Well, if you go to their website, they are. They're cute little things. They're a little tube, and you can bend over and stick it in the water and suck out of the creek or what have you. You go to their website, and you're going to find, after you've digged down, not suitable for biologically active water, meaning only use it on tap water. I don't understand what this scam is, but they make a hell of a lot of money with it. The Sawyer is a small unit that uses the same technology dialysis machines use. It's hundreds of tiny tubes that filter everything out up to and including bacteria. And in the United States, you don't have to worry about anything past that. Like, we don't have virus in the water. That's BS. It doesn't exist. The good thing about the little Sawyer, well, first off, it's $20. Second off, it's back flushable. It'll last you the rest of your life. So I wanted to let you know about that. Now, my radio audience is going to know something that nobody else knows yet. Well, except my wife, my son, and four or five other people. The oregano oil is back in stock. It is the world's oldest and strongest antimicrobial known to man. And we have been selling it for 25 years. It comes out of Turkey, and Turkey stopped exporting it in January. We have been busting our butts trying to get it back, and we got it back. We only have a gross of them right now. The company that packages this for us, they have so many people that are buying it now. We're not the last on the list, but we're in the middle of the list, so it's limited. Let's put it that way. If you want oregano oil, we're limiting it to 6 bottles, and they're 1-ounce bottles, $25. We haven't raised our price in 20 years. They're $25 for a 1-ounce bottle. It's on the website. I don't have it active yet to where you can buy it on the website. So you'll have to call into the store, 310-295-9686. That's 310-295-9686. Or come up to the store in Hayden, Idaho on Government Way. Anyway, so the oregano oil's back in. I will be putting it up on the website in the next day or so. All right, some news. Remember I mentioned something about how some people hacked a bunch of Twitter names like President Barack Obama, Elon Musk, and basically 128 other Twitter accounts, and then claimed we're going to donate a bunch of money to who knows what, you know, some people who need money. You just send us some Bitcoin and we'll double it and pay you back. I don't know how people could be so stupid. The government caught the people. They're three teenagers, basically, two in the United States and one in the U.K., The one here is a 17-year-old Tampa from Florida, teenager, and he's facing 30 felony charges. So they've been caught. And I just wanted to let you know that came out yesterday, and I think everybody would not really care, but what the hell, I decided to tell you anyway. All right, my categories, as you well know, I have various categories that I talk about. We're going to be stuck in two categories pretty much this show. And the first, which we're going to get into right now, is the liberal psychosis. You know how I love that category. Now, anyone who calls themselves a liberal, a progressive, a Democrat, that's a smokescreen. Those are all communists. And this is real. The United States went into socialism in the 30s when FDR started all the programs. And we haven't stopped, except we've gotten worse. Now we're 30 seconds away from becoming a communist-controlled country. So the communists in Seattle, some of their notes have been leaked. You know how they've been screaming, defund the police, defund the police? Well, no, they don't want just to defund the police. They want to abolish the entire criminal justice system. Now, on one hand, I kind of agree with that. But the thing is, these communists want to eradicate the whole justice system with nothing to replace it. So you can see crime increasing 1,000% overnight. Now, the Democrat National Committee is going to be having their convention soon. And because all of the communists, or Democrats, if you want to use that word, have been screaming nationwide, in fact, worldwide, to quote-unquote defund the police departments because they're all racist and homophobic and kill people. The first 100 police agencies that were requested to guard the DNC meeting refused. So far, there's been 100 police agencies that have refused to go and guard the Democrat National Committee convention. The platform, you know, the Democrats, the Republicans, everyone has a platform they put together, and it's what they believe in. It's the basic truths that they want to push both in an election cycle and when they gain control. So the draft platform for the Democrat National Committee is basically, now, what is socialism? What does socialism tell you to do? Create an evil class, so they're called white, and claim that they're privileged, white privilege, and that they're evil. All right, so this is what they're going to be doing. This is the ploy that the Democrats will be using this year for election, trying to get the guilty liberal whites to do what they're told, and all the rest of the I'm guilty because I'm white automatically idiots out there. Yes, they're going to be attacking white people. It's astounding. And, you know, I have these links. You can go to armchairsurvivalist.com and you'll see on the left-hand side show notes. You click on that, it'll take you to the dates of all my shows with a little minor title there. You figure out which show you want to find out about, and you can click on that and you will see my show notes, and you yourself can go and look at it. Now, the next article that I got here is, this is out of the UK, but the same exact thing is happening in the United States. This is just a clip that I got out of the UK, and the only term you can use on this creature is mulatto. He's a mulatto sexual pervert, and he states in the open exactly who the real enemy is.
You can't talk about education, and you can't talk about black issues and LGBT issues and exclude them as if they're some individual issue. You need to be looking at this using intersectionality, which is a word that, you know, is thrown around, but what does it really mean? It means recognizing that there is one common enemy, the white man. And the systems that they use are capitalism, patriarchy, and fascism. They were created and perpetuated by white men, for white men, in the interest of white men. And once we realize that we're all fighting the same fight, it just strengthens the army. A problem shared is a problem halved. Imagine if we all realized and came together and grouped together. We need to address the fact that, you know, all of these groups of people, the issues they face, it all comes from the same people, white men. So we need to get rid of them.
So that's pretty easy to understand. And this is all over the world. A lot of it's in the United States. In fact, the majority of it's in the United States. And in all of these riots and marches and all of this crap, you will see people splattered all around, and they're black, kill whites, kill police, whites are racist, you know, all of this crap like that. This is the forerunner to a race war, and this is the powers that be, the deep state, the George Soroses and their minions. This is what they want to do. They want to create a war here in the United States. I don't think we're going to be able to stop it. The United Nations has been approached by the Democrats in the United States, or in other words, the communists in the United States, because the evil white people, or all Republicans, in other words, if you're a black Republican, you're still an evil white person. They need the UN to help monitor these human rights violations that are being created all over the United States. So the UN has decided to send observers to these marches and to prove how evil the white people are and the government is. When my son was a child, we lived in Glendale, California. I was a contract gunsmith at the time, and I worked for some companies that would import firearms, and my job was to clean them and make sure they weren't going to blow up in anybody's hands. Across the street from us was a family from Bulgaria. A man, a woman, three children. They had escaped Bulgaria just before it became communism. And he used to tell us these stories. I'm not going to go into the stories, but he used to tell us these stories about how he could see it was coming, how he could see what was happening. And the last time we saw him, we were at the Pomona Gun Show the day before the Rodney King riot started. He called me from his house and he said, I'm very stupid. I go, why are you stupid? He goes, well, because I don't have any bullets for my pistol. I said, what the hell? What do you mean? I sold you a .357 Magnum. He goes, yeah, but I never bought bullets. Do you have any? And I could tell there was something going to happen. The communists were working in the background, getting things hot and heavy. So I drove 50 miles to deliver to him a box of ammo. When I got there, the riots had broken out. In his backyard, he had built a 10 by 10 building that was 20 feet tall. It was a guard tower, an observation post, and that's what it was to him. It was an observation post. He said, you come up now, look. And I climbed the stairs all the way to the top, and I'm looking out there, and I swear to God, it looked like Lebanon. In the distance was a giant black fire burning, and then there were four more burning. And then there were sirens everywhere. And I said, here's your ammo, I gotta get back. He escaped from Bulgaria. He lived under the beginning of communist rules. He escaped before they locked the country down. I found a clip from a Yugoslavian woman who had escaped from Yugoslavia before the communists locked everything down as well. Pay attention, because this is now what's happening here.
This is my message for the greatest country in the world. In the light of the recent events in the United States, I felt morally obliged to shed light on a very similar chain of events that took place in my country during the 90s. The cause of those events was the same, a constantly re-emerging ultimate evil, nihilistic, non-theistic religion / cult that caused hundreds of millions of deaths in the 20th century and countless suffering. Now, proponents of that religion want to run the experiment once again, and in that experiment, you, people of America, will be lab mice. Not so long ago, I was a lab mouse of dictators in my country. That country was Yugoslavia. Rather than giving you lessons about history of my country, I want to give you the timeline of the events which led to an extremely bloody war and dissolution of Yugoslavian Federacy. I will leave it to you to make conclusions about similarities with recent events in the United States. In the 1989, the fall of the Berlin Wall marked the victory of the free world over tyrannical monstrosity of communism across the Europe. However, Yugoslav communists didn't feel like letting go of their precious powers. Since the climate in Europe was extremely anti-communist at the time, they knew they needed a new strategy, an ideology that would seduce the masses and keep the power in their hands. So they come up with a very clever idea, to rebrand the communism in Yugoslavia and to change its name into socialism. Not any type of socialism, but a very special type, the National Socialism. Sounds familiar. The playbook they used to progress with their agenda was already tested in Nazi Germany. To establish National Socialism, you must first install hatred in people. In order to create genocidal levels of hatred, you must divide people of one country in well-defined groups. In other words, you must create tribal or groupthink. This can be achieved in different ways. You can divide people by ethnicity, by race, by religion. You can let your imagination go wild. Since Yugoslavs were white and practically indistinguishable among themselves, the only card they could play was the religion card. Yugoslavia was very mixed religion-wise, and we had Orthodox Christian Serbs, Catholic Croats and Slovenes, and Muslim Bosnians. A perfect starting position. In the next phase, you must start making such social policies so terrible that will inevitably lead to the countless individual disadvantages. When the consequences of such government policies become obvious, you must start claiming that the cause of those inequalities is nothing but discrimination and hatred of one group towards another, and naturally, you must start screaming that those inequalities must be corrected by favoring the oppressed, discriminated group over the oppressor group. Enter national quotas for hiring. Now just replace national with race or women. Once the groups are formed and well-defined, it's needless to say that all the mainstream media in Yugoslavia were government-controlled and were fueling the narrative about mutual discrimination and hatred relentlessly. The growing fear and feeling of insecurity destroyed relationships, marriages, friendships. As fear of discrimination and hostility among groups were growing, people started retreating and isolating within their own groups because they didn't feel safe anymore with the individuals of the other group. All of a sudden, staged and very well organized mass protests started all over the country. Protests against the oppression and killing of one group by another. At first, those protests were peaceful, but soon enough, rioting and burning started. Now that you have the attention of the public, you need sparks. What is a spark? A spark is a convenient event of murdering of a random member of one group by a hateful member of another, and you usually need more than one of those. At this point, people were still not completely divided. There were still reasonable people left, those who understood we are all one nation under God, and that we will not kill each other under any circumstances. They went out protesting together, singing for peace and holding their hands. But the hunger for the absolute power of socialists was stronger than our love for each other, and shootings and attacks at protesters continued. In the next phase, the tipping point with no return was reached. People started erecting barricades at the entrance of their cities, their neighborhoods, even on highways and roads. Barricades were guarded with armed civilians. Each and every attempt of the law enforcement to remove barricades and to de-escalate the situation was in vain, since they would be ambushed and killed. Peace couldn't be restored anymore, because headlines, photos, and videos of dead people propagated through mass media became too explicit and horrifying. Even those hardcore idealists who believed in one nation under God, peace and love, snapped under the pressure. At that point, army was deployed to restore order, but they couldn't do much, because they were clueless about who was the perpetrator and who was the victim, simply because there were perpetrators and victims on both sides. In the final stages, even the army was attacked during the negotiated retreat, and 50 or 100 soldiers were killed. And just like that, Yugoslavia found itself in a civil war. City against city, village against village, family against family, and so on until the whole territories became cleaned of the members of the enemy group. Genocide, ethnic cleansing, relocation of hundreds of thousands of people were everyday news. It lasted 4 years. 100,000 people died. Some 500,000 were displaced. Those people lost everything. Yugoslavia was drowned in the blood of thousands of innocent people and destroyed forever. You might wonder how we let that happen. How could we let things get so much out of control? That was because we didn't realize who were the real enemies, the enemies of the Yugoslav people as a whole. Instead, we were brainwashed into buying the story that we, the people, are the enemies of each other, while our true enemies were advancing with their sick, demented agenda, which had as the ultimate goal the total and unlimited power. This brings me to present times, the year 2020, and to you, American people. Unless you were living under the rock, you might have noticed that something very strange and vicious is happening in your country, but you're not exactly sure what it is and where it came from. Because the last time you checked, you were one nation under God, a country of free, independent individuals with equal rights under the law and core values of life, liberty and pursuit of happiness. All of a sudden, there is protesting, rioting, arson, murder, destruction of public and private property, and lots of people screaming how unbelievably racist and unjust America is. And before you even manage to prepare your morning coffee and turn the TV on, once united Americans are at each other's throat. And bunch of nice and caring people on TV are telling you how you should accept the violence and hatred against Americans because you deserve it. If you have paid attention to what happened in Yugoslavia, I hope you have realized by now that your true enemies are not your fellow Americans. The ones who are, they want you to hate each other and to kill each other, while they're taking away your constitutional rights, your freedoms, and your country, your heritage, your way of life, and the future of your children. Although it is more than obvious that there are very well-organized groups used as tools to install and amplify hate and to create division between Americans, they are only metastases which have spread through once healthy America. Of course, there are violent terrorist organizations and they must be removed as well. But the main cancer that is killing America, the one where all this mayhem is coming from, is somewhere else. The real and extremely dangerous enemies of American people are the elected officials in your government, in your states, in your courts, representatives, governors, mayors, judges. The ones who are pulling the ropes. The ones who hate America and American people so much that would even sacrifice the life and prosperity of their own children just to see it burn to the ground and American blood spilled. Those are really sick, demented, ideologically possessed people. And they are in high positions in the government. They are governing your states, your cities, and making decisions in your courts. You know very well who they are. You know very well what they already did to once beautiful and prosperous American states and cities. They are resentful, power, and bloodthirsty. They want you and your children suffering in misery and begging them for mercy. They won't stop, no matter how much you try to appease them, unless you, American people, stop them. You're maybe thinking this is not possible, but think again. How many of them tyrants are out there? And how many of you decent American people? What makes them think they can do whatever they want with you? That they can play you for a fool over and over again? And that they're invincible? What makes them think they're gods? Morally and intellectually superior compared to you, freedom-loving Americans. Yes, you guessed it. The fact that they managed to get away with it every single time. They faced no pushback and not a single consequence for their crimes against American people. The time has come for them to pay for their treason. How you should act? First thing that you must do, stop caring whether you've been called a racist, a white supremacist, a selfish person who wants to spread the C-1984, or whatever nice name they have for you. This irrational fear of stigma, a phobia of being called a racist, has way more destructive implications than you can even imagine. Stop caring whether you'll offend anyone. Number of people offended by you practicing your First Amendment rights is directly proportional to how successful you are in that. Which means, the more offended, the merrier. Stop attempting to have a fact or logic-based rational conversation. Stop explaining yourself. It's useless. You're wasting your precious time and energy. They have a playbook, and changing their minds is not part of it. Second, exercise your Second Amendment rights. This means, study carefully and in detail gun laws in your state. Next, arm yourself. If you have never used a gun before, make sure to take a basic gun training. This is very important because you must know how to use a gun properly to protect yourself, your family, and your property, so that you can avoid hurting yourself or innocent people as a consequence of improper gun use. Be a responsible gun owner. Third and most important, exercise your First Amendment rights. Of course, it is very important to vote in November, but I'm afraid it will not be enough. I have seen such a diversity of ways socialists used to steal the elections in Yugoslavia, and I'm absolutely sure your tyrants will give their best to do the same. You must act now. You must go out on the streets, peacefully assemble and protest against tyranny and infringement of your God-given rights. Millions and millions of you decent American people, you must have your voices heard. You must send a very loud and a very clear message to the elected officials in the federal government and in your states that enough is enough, and that you want them to take action now against tyranny. Remind them why you voted for them and why they're elected. Remind them of their sacred duty to protect the vision of founding fathers of the United States of America. Tell them you want your constitutional rights defended and protected. Tell them you want your history preserved. Tell them you want to be able to freely exercise your rights to free speech, to be able to freely and openly show the love for your country, to be able to proudly put American flag in front of your house, and to openly show your pride of your heritage, your culture, and your nation. Tell them you stand proudly with American law enforcement and that you got their back in the same way you want them to have yours. Tell them you want to be treated as grown-up individuals who can make their own decisions. Tell them that there is no place for socialism in America. Tell them you want the traitors of American people out of their offices and out of government. Tell them you want them charged and prosecuted for treason and crimes against humanity. And that if they're not removed from the government and from their offices, that you, freedom-loving Americans, will unleash all your anger on tyrants and you will remove them yourself. It is your constitutional obligation to protect the legacy of founding fathers and to fight against any form of tyrannical government which infringes upon your constitutional rights. Never forget why you celebrate the Independence Day. Don't be afraid whether you will get attacked for exercising your First Amendment rights. You certainly will be. If that happens, defend yourself. Remember, self-defense is not violence, no matter what they tell you and what they accuse you of. President Trump is on your side and on the side of liberty. Because if he weren't, they wouldn't try this hard to sabotage him in every way possible, to make a nightmare out of his life and his presidency, and to remove him from the office. He's in their way of them getting what they want. But he cannot fight this battle alone. He's having a very hard time right now defending your freedoms. That's why you must show him you stand tall and proud with him, united in a fight against tyranny, against hate and violence, and against the ultimate evil of socialism. You must show your open and unlimited support to his vision of draining the swamp and protecting the law and order and freedoms of American people. You must understand that, besides being a gatekeeper of free America, President Trump is also a gatekeeper of the free world. This means that if we, free people of the world, America, we will lose the world as well. You must not make the same mistakes us Yugoslavs made, because the only casualties of our mistakes were ourselves. This is different because now the future of the whole free world is in your hands. God bless President Trump and God bless America.
If you go out in the internet and you look, you're going to find hundreds of people who lived under communist rule who are warning us, telling us the same thing's happening now. I worked for one of the survivors of the Auschwitz death camps when I was a child. Well, when I was younger. And he would tell me stories about what would happen. Not what did happen, but what will happen, he said. And everything that he told me is, well, 99% of it is coming true now. Now, you know, say again, we're under the liberal psychosis. You know, the CIA controls what is said on the mainstream media to a degree. They give them some leeway, but the major points, they push them. They'll come out of the dailycost.com, which is a communist organization that creates all the talking points that the CIA gives them. And then all of the ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CBS, Fox News, every single one of them starts saying the same exact words. So I found a clip that exemplifies that. And I played clips like this before, but this one's different because it kind of pulls in the pandemic and the false mask narrative at the same time. It's self-explanatory.
This morning, as COVID cases mount across the country, the mask debate is intensifying.
People are very passionate on both sides of the great mask debate.
The partisan mask debate is heating up.
Mask debate's growing.
The president is trying to have us cover the mask debate.
CVS, Target, and Walgreens are getting in on the mask debate.
The mask debate now taking center stage at local restaurants.
It's 9 minutes after six now, and there's new video of a raging mask debate.
The mask debate in Georgia is getting ugly.
The great mask debate in West Virginia might soon be coming to an end.
This mass debate is far from over.
How many mass debates have you gotten into? Love to hear it.
The mass debate was taken to a whole nother level.
Bishop David Zubik tells Pittsburgh's Action News 4 he found himself in the middle of a mass debate.
And we'll dive deeper into this pet store mass debate.
So we're going to begin with this thing we're calling the great mass debate.
This proves that these anchors, these hosts, they don't even read what they're saying. They just say it because that's what comes across their desk, and they're ordered to say it. Well, this is, I don't know, what else do we need? What else do we need to prove that this is a whole plandemic? All right, now we're going to get into the category of COVID, or SARS-2, COVID-19, or the Wuhan virus, or the Kung Flu, or any of a dozen more nicknames for this phony BS thing. The military. And I saw this and I'm going, no, wait a minute, there's got to be something wrong with this because there's no way in hell that could come out like that. But the military has actually notified over 600,000 of its members that they all tested positive for COVID-19. They all tested positive, according to the military TRICARE. And then immediately after that, they go, oh, oops, sorry. Yeah, there's something, their test screwed up, sorry, but no, I'm sorry. Never mind. This is happening all over the United States. The tests are coming back. The data is what's known as false data. The stats are skewed so that they can prove, quote-unquote, the narrative that everybody's dying from COVID-19. Florida, and I told you about a friend of mine who's a mortician in Florida, and he's concerned about the same thing. You get shot in the head and die from a gunshot wound to your brain, and they call it death by COVID. You have a heart attack and slip off and fall down a mountain, that's death by COVID. You get in a car accident, death by COVID. You get in a motorcycle accident, death by COVID. You drowned in a car in a lake, death by COVID. I'm being conservative when I say 75% of the so-called COVID deaths in the United States are false. It's pure BS. And we know, you know, I don't pay a lot of attention to the drugs aspects of this stuff. But I'm finding stuff. Ohio, and my wife has some family that lives in Ohio, the Department of Health banned hydroxychloroquine. Banned it. They come out and banned hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine is a drug that's used to treat arthritis. It's used to treat malaria. It's used to treat various things. And it has been for 65 years. So it's proven that it's safe. And a state board bans hydroxychloroquine. Well, the next day, it was retracted, and they don't say why. They just took that back. Took this. Okay, that's it. Now, what's happening? This whole thing about this disease is nothing more than a means of gaining power over us. And how power works is you have to give it to someone or something. I've met people whose car had power over them because they didn't know how to make it work properly. So they granted it the ability to control them and it controlled their emotions. Somebody comes up and says, I'm your boss. You're going to do what I tell you to do from now on. Well, if you agree, well, then you will. If you don't agree, you'll straighten them out. And what happens is this whole thing is nothing more than an exercise by the communists in the United States to prove how much power they have over everyone. Here in Idaho, we have had four deaths, four, and they all had various other diseases as well. So this was just like the icing on the cake, or the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So they want to close down everything. The governor said, we're going to close everything down. The majority of us said, go to hell. Well, the conservatives. The communists said, right on, let's destroy the economy. Cool. And they closed. We have a dozen people a week come in here complaining because they closed their business, and they're losing everything. And I said, why'd you close? Well, the governor said to. Did he send you a letter? Did somebody come into the store and threaten you? No. Oh, so you granted him power over you and then followed his rules. We don't do that here. Very few people I know will do that. Now they're going to have this other thing. This will come. You don't get a shot, you're not going to get a job. You don't get a job, you can't have money. There's a paper published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it's going to make it attempts to make the case that people who refuse a future vaccine for this Kung Flu Wuhan virus should no longer be allowed to work or make a living or show their face in public at all. Now, that sounds radical, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound radical? Doesn't taking down a bunch of statues sound radical, too? But that's what they're going to. You know, when all of this started, this phony deep state Fauci, Dr. Fauci, comes out and says, you know, all the scientific data that has been accumulated for decades, and they're basically basing it on this infectious cycle, and they call it a model. They never mention masks anywhere in these models. Nowhere do they mention masks. This just goes to show how phony it is. Now, we all know and love Bill Gates, don't we? And he's supposed to be some expert on vaccinations, and he's wanted in Africa for crimes against humanity because of his so-called vaccinations that made 500,000 women sterile. But I came across an interview, and now I don't know if this has been doctored or not, because I've listened to him talk before, and he likes to put both his feet in his mouth and walk around in there. But this is kind of... this is the kind of response you get from any of these people who start saying, well, you need to have a vaccine, you need to get a shot, you need to have two times, maybe three times. So this is Nora O'Donnell interviewing Bill Gates. This is just a part of the clip.
The Moderna vaccines sound concerning. We looked. After the second dose, at least 80% of participants experienced a systemic side effect. So are these vaccines safe?
Well, the... and you know, to get the responses that are pretty high.
Everybody with a high dose had a side effect.
Yeah, but some of that is not dramatic, where, you know, it's just, you know, super painful. But there,
how many doses of the vaccine will we need?
Well, none of the vaccines at this point appear like they'll work with a single dose. That was the hope. Although in the elderly, it takes more. And well, if
there is a woman she's the head of OSHA. This is a safety organization, and she has a YouTube channel, and she came and she did a 45-minute speech on why masks are both stupid, don't do anything, and dangerous. I'm not going to play it. I'm not even going to play a clip out of it, but I am going to post it. So anybody who wants to find out about it, you can go ahead and watch it. Now, we all have saw Trump come out months ago and say, yeah, I'm on hydroxychloroquine. No big deal. It cures the disease. He said it as if everybody knew that. And instantly, the deep state got involved and decided that he is an idiot and hydroxychloroquine should be banned because there's all these new drugs that are going to be coming out. And, of course, everybody who's telling everyone who will listen that this all should be banned have their fingers in the pie income-wise. Fauci has hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in half of these companies, or millions of dollars invested. So he tends to triple and quadruple his money when a so-called vaccine comes out. So I'm watching all of this hydroxychloroquine, okay? And then I get an article sent to me from a listener in Utah where his doctor is saying, yeah, hundreds of people I've treated with this and zinc and a antibiotic, and in 2 days they're fine. Not a big deal. I'm watching all of these little articles on different doctors come out and say, this is real. I don't know why you guys are saying that this widely used drug can't be used for this. And then the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons has requested the Food and Drug Administration to start telling people that this is a good treatment. And I'm reading this stuff. I'm thinking, what the hell? And then I see Trump Jr. was suspended from Twitter because there was this video going around, which at that point I had no idea what it was. So he got suspended. And then Twitter started suspending thousands and thousands of people who were mentioning this group of doctors did a speech that had something to do with hydroxychloroquine. They did it at the base of the Washington Monument, Washington, D.C. And then I start seeing YouTube and Google and Facebook, all of the communist-controlled big tech, start banning people on a wholesale manner. I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands of people were being banned. This is just astounding me. So I decided to find this speech. This speech that was given by a group of doctors. You have no idea how hard it was to find that. I found it. Now, I edited it down a little bit, but I have the original video, and that will be posted on my website, armchairsurvivalist.com, under show notes for this date, and you can watch the whole thing if you want to do that. But right now, here is what all of the big tech giants are freaking out about.
We're here because we feel as though the American people have not heard from all the expertise that's out there all across our country. We do have some experts speaking, but there's lots and lots of experts across the country. So some of us decided to get together. We're America's frontline doctors. We're here only to help American patients and the American nation heal. We have a lot of information to share. Americans are riveted and captured by fear at the moment. We are not held down by the virus as much as we're being held down by the spider web of fear. That spider web is all around us, and it's constricting us, and it's draining the lifeblood of the American people, American society, and American economy. This does not make sense. COVID-19 is a virus that exists in essentially two phases. There's the early phase disease, and there's the late phase disease. In the early phase, either before you get the virus or early when you've gotten the virus, if you've gotten the virus, there's treatment. That's what we're here to tell you. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. You can find it on America's Frontline Doctors. There's many other sites that are streaming it live on Facebook. But we implore you to hear this because this message has been silenced. There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus carefully and intelligently, but we cannot live with this spider web of fear that's constricting our country. So we're going to hear now from various physicians. Some are going to talk to you about what the lockdown has done to young, to older, to businesses, to the economy, and how we can get ourselves out of the cycle of fear. Dr. Hamilton.
Thank you, Simone, and thank you all for being here today. I'm Dr. Bob Hamilton. I'm a pediatrician from Santa Monica, California. I've been in private practice there for 36 years. And today I have good news for you. The good news is that children, as a general rule, are taking this virus very, very well. Few are getting infected. Those who are getting infected are being hospitalized in low numbers. And fortunately, the mortality rate of children is about 0.25%. So kids are tolerating the infection very frequently. They're actually asymptomatic. I also want to say that children are not the drivers of this pandemic. People were worried about initially if children were going to actually be the ones to push the infection along. The very opposite is happening. Kids are tolerating it very well. They're not passing it on to their parents. They're not passing it on to their teachers. Dr. Mark Woolhouse from Scotland, who is a pediatric infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist, said the following. He said, there has not been one documented case of COVID being transferred from a student to a teacher in the world. I think that is important that all of us who are here today realize that our kids are not really the ones who are driving the infection. It is being driven by older individuals. And yes, we can send the kids back to school, I think, without fear. And this is the big issue right now, as Congressman Norman alluded to. This is the really important thing we need to do. We need to normalize the lives of our children. How do we do that? We do that by getting them back in the classroom. And the good news is they're not driving this infection at all. Yes, we can use security measures. Yes, we can be careful. I'm all for that. We all are. But I think the important thing is we need to not act out of fear. We need to act out of science. We need to do it. We need to get it done. Finally, the barrier, and I hate to say this, but the barrier to getting our kids back in school is not going to be the science. It's going to be the national unions, the teachers union, the National Education Association, other groups who are going to demand money. And listen, I think that it's fine to give people money for PPE and different things in the classroom, but some of their demands are really ridiculous. They're talking about where I'm from in California, the UTLA, which is the United Teachers of Los Angeles, is demanding that we defund the police. What does that have to do with education? They're demanding that they stop or they shut all private charter schools, privately funded charter schools. These are the schools that are actually getting the kids educated. So clearly, there are going to be barriers. The barriers will not be science. There will not be barriers for the sake of the children. It's going to be for the sake of the adults, the teachers and everybody else, and for the union. So that's where we need to focus our efforts and fight back. So thank you all for being here, and let's get our kids back in school.
I'm Dr. Stella Emmanuel. I'm a primary care physician in Houston, Texas. I'm here because I have personally treated over 350 patients with COVID. Patients that have diabetes, patients that have high blood pressure, patients that have asthma. Old people, I think my oldest patient is 92, 87 year olds. And the result has been the same. I put them on hydroxychloroquine, I put them on zinc, I put them on Zitromax, and they are all well. For the past few months, I've taken care of over 350 patients. We've not lost one. Not a diabetic, not a somebody with high blood pressure, not somebody with asthma, not an old person. We've not lost one patient. On top of that, I've put myself, my staff, and many doctors that I know on hydroxychloroquine for prevention, because by the very mechanism of action, it works early and as a prophylaxis. We see patients, 10 to 15 COVID patients every day. We give them breathing treatments. We only wear surgical masks. None of us has gotten sick. It works. I came here to Washington, D.C. to say, America, nobody needs to die. I'm upset. Why I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in. I see diabetics sit in my office knowing that this is a death sentence and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them, it's going to be okay. You're going to live. And we treat them and they live. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes and say, oh, we've done studies and they found out that it doesn't work, I can tell you categorically it's fake science. I want to know who is sponsoring that study. I want to know who is behind it. Because there is no way I can treat 350 patients and counting and nobody is dead and they all did better. And then you're going to tell me that you treated 20 people, 40 people and it didn't work. I'm a true testimony. So I came here to Washington, D.C. to tell America, nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. It is called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know people want to talk about masks. You don't need masks. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention, and there is a cure. And let me tell you something. All you fake doctors out there that tell me, oh, yeah, I want a double-blinded studies. I just tell you, quit sounding like a computer, double-blinded. I don't know whether your chips are malfunctioning, but I'm a real doctor. I have radiologists. We have plastic surgeons, we have neurosurgeons like Sanjay Gupta saying, oh yeah, it doesn't work and it causes heart disease. Let me ask you, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, hear me. Have you ever seen a COVID patient? Have you ever treated anybody with hydroxychloroquine and they died from heart disease? When you do, come and talk to me. Because I sit down in my clinic every day and I see this patient walk in every day, scared to death. I see people driving 2-3 hours to my clinic because some ER doctor is scared of the Texas board or they are scared of something and they will not prescribe medication to these people. I tell all of you doctors that are sitting down and watching Americans die. You're like the good Nazi, the good what? The good Germans that watch Jews get killed and you did not speak up. If they come after me, they threaten me. I mean, I've gotten all kinds of threats. Oh, they're going to report me to the boards. I say, you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to let Americans die. And if this is the mountain, if this is the hill where I get nailed on, I will get nailed on it. I don't care. You can report me to the boards. You can kill me. You can do whatever. But I'm not going to let Americans die. And today I'm here to say it, that America, there is a cure for COVID. All this foolishness does not need to happen. There is a cure for COVID. It's called hydroxychloroquine. It's called zinc. It's called Zithromax. And it is time for the grassroots to wake up and say, no, we're not going to take this any longer. We're not going to die. Because let me tell you something. When somebody is dead, they are dead. They're not coming back tomorrow to have an argument. They're not coming back tomorrow to discuss the double-blinded study and the data. All of you doctors that are waiting for data, if 6 months down the line, you actually found out that this data shows that this medication works, how about your patients that have died? You want a double-blinded study? When people are dying, it's unethical. Guys, we don't need to die. There is a cure for COVID.
The study that Dr. Emanuel was referring to is in virology, which talks about a SARS viral epidemic that affects the lungs that came from China, and they didn't know what would work. The study showed that chloroquine would work. It sounds exactly like it could have been written 3 months ago, but in fact, that study in virology, which was published by the NIH, the National Institute of Health, when Dr. Anthony Fauci was the director, again, the official publication of the NIH virology, 15 years ago showed that chloroquine, we use hydroxychloroquine, it's the same, a little safer, works. They proved this 15 years ago when we got this novel coronavirus, which is not that novel. It's 78% similar to the prior version, the COVID-1. Not surprisingly, it works.
Dr. Dan Erickson, Dr. Gold asked me to talk about the lockdowns, how effective they were, and do they cause anything non-financial? They always talk about the financial, but you have to realize that lockdowns, we haven't taken a $21 trillion economy and locked it down. So when you lock it down, it causes public health issues. Our suicide hotlines are up 600%. Our spousal abuse, different areas of alcoholism are all on the rise. These are public health problems from a financial lockdown. So we have to be clear on that fact that there is, it's not like you just lock it down and have consequences to people's jobs. They also have consequences, health consequences at home. We're talking about having a little more of a measured approach, a consistent approach. If we have another spike coming in cold and flu season, let's do something that's sustainable. What's sustainable? We can socially distance and wear some masks, but we can also open the schools and open businesses. So this measured approach I'm talking about isn't made up. It's going on in Sweden, and their deaths are about 564 per million. UK full lockdown, 600 deaths per million. So we're seeing that the lockdowns aren't decreasing significantly the amount of deaths per million. Some of their Nordic neighbors have less deaths for a variety of reasons I don't have time to go into today. So what my quick message here in a minute or two is just that we need to take an approach approach that's sustainable. A sustainable approach is slowing things down, opening up schools, opening up businesses, and then we can allow the people to have their independence and their personal responsibility to choose to wear masks and socially distance. As opposed to putting edicts on them, kind of controlling them, let's empower them with data and let them study what other countries have done and make their own decision.
You know, South Dakota did something interesting, and it's interesting that you're from there. So the governor did not restrict access to hydroxychloroquine. I believe you were the only state in the union that did that. And there's been studies out there that attempt to show that it doesn't work. They're inaccurate because they're given at the wrong time, the wrong dose, the wrong patient, either too much or at the long time. So South Dakota did better because it had access to hydroxychloroquine. Thank you so much.
Or whatever you're trying to say, it is restricted. How do we get access to that?
That's the number one question we're all asked every day. I want you to know that you're not alone. I've had many congressmen ask me, how can I get it? So the congressman can't get it. It's tough luck for the average American Joe getting it. It's very difficult. You have to overcome a few hurdles. Your doctor has to have read the science with a critical eye and have eliminated the junk science. Many studies have been retracted, as you know. And number two, the pharmacist has to not restrict it. Many states have empowered their pharmacists to not honor physician prescription. That's never happened before. That interference with the doctor-patient relationship, where the patient talks to the doctor honestly and the doctor answers the patient honestly, has been violated. So you have a very difficult time as the average American. Some of the information we'll share later this afternoon is to show the mortality rates in countries where it's not restricted and the mortality rates where it is restricted. So I have friends all over the world now because of this. And in Indonesia, you can just buy it over the counter. It's in the vitamin section. And I'm here to tell the American people that you can buy it over the counter in Iran, because the leaders in Iran, the mullahs in Iran, think that they should have more freedom than Americans. I have a problem with that. My colleagues have problems with that. We don't like to watch patients die.
When you hear this, if you're concerned and wondering why you may not be able to get access to it, we need you to make four calls. Call your governor, call both of your senators, and call your congressman, and tell them that you want to know why you're not able to get access to a drug that doctors are telling you will help end this and help us reduce the number of hospitalizations and reduce the number of deaths. Urge them to read Dr. Harvey Risch's study from Yale. He's a Yale professor of epidemiology, and from there you'll find other studies.
So the only number that I think is worth paying any attention to, and even that number is not so helpful, but is mortality, because that's a hard and fast number. So the case number is almost irrelevant. And that's because there's a lot of inaccuracies with the testing. And also, even if the test is accurate, most people are asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic. So it's not that important to know. So the case number, which you see rising all the time in the news, is basically irrelevant. And if you had told us a few months ago that that was the number that the media was going to go crazy over, we all would have just laughed at that. I mean, that's essentially herd immunity. There's lots of people out there who have tested positive without symptoms or with very mild symptoms. So the only number that's worth paying attention to is mortality. When you look at the mortality, this is a disease that unfortunately kills our most frail members of society. People with multiple comorbid conditions, specifically diabetes, obesity is a big one. We don't talk about that, but it is. It's a fact. Coronary artery disease, severe coronary artery disease, people like that. And also, if you're older, it's a risk factor. But the biggest risk factor is if you have comorbid conditions. If you're young and healthy, you're going to recover. If you're under 60 with no comorbid conditions, it's less deadly than influenza. This seems to come as great news to Americans, because this is not what you're being told.
If you had a message to Dr. Anthony Fauci, what would you say to him?
My message to Dr. Anthony Fauci is to have a meeting with these frontline doctors who are seeing real patients. They're touching human skin. They're looking people in the eye. They're diagnosing them, and they're helping them beat the virus. They're the ones who are talking to the patients. Have meetings with them and do it every single day. Find out what they are learning about the virus firsthand. And it's important to understand, we have doctors here who are not emergency room doctors. They're preventing patients from even hitting the emergency room. So if they're only listening to emergency room or ICU at the very tragic end of a person's life, they're not getting the full story. They need to come back and hear the earlier portion. And they also need to understand what the lockdowns and the fears are doing to patients around this country, because there are a lot of unintended consequences, which the doctors can speak about.
My message to Dr. Anthony Fauci is,
When is the last time you put a stethoscope on a patient? That when you start seeing patients, like we see on a daily basis, you will understand the frustration that we feel. And you need to start feeling for American people like we, the frontline doctors, feel. And you need to start realizing that they are listening to you. And if they are going to listen to you, you got to give them a message of hope. You got to give them a message that goes with what you already know, that hydroxychloroquine works.
You mentioned before some remarkable results that you've had treating your own patients. You said, I believe, over 300 patients.
Yes. Yes,
sir. Have you been able to publish your findings and results from those patients?
We're working on publishing it right now, but this is what I'll say. People like, doctors tell me all the time, publish the data. And my question is, and that will make you see patients? There's enough data around the world. Yes, my data will come out. When that comes out, that's great. But right now, people are dying. So my data is not important for you to see patients. I'm saying that to my colleagues out there that talk about data.
There is a lot of data out there on this. Not every clinician needs to publish their data to be taken seriously. The media has not covered it. There is a ton. I've got a compendium on AmericasFrontlineDoctors.com.
Yep.
There is a compendium of all the studies that work with hydroxychloroquine. The mortality rate was published in Detroit less than a month. It was July 4th weekend they published it. Mortality by half in the critically ill patients.
Mm-hmm.
The patients who get it early, it's been estimated that one half to three quarters of those patients wouldn't be dead. We're talking 70,000 to 100,000 patients would still be alive if we had followed this policy. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of published data. I'm sorry.
Dr. Rich published data recently, so there's a lot of data out there. They don't need mine to make those decisions.
Dr. Hamilton, have you seen any patients who are having adverse side effects because schools have been closed with depression or suicide?
I think that it is common knowledge that with the schools not being open, when you think about what your experience in junior high and high school, what do you think about? You think about parties and you think about football games, socializing. Those are the things we think about. Those are all being shut down, folks. Nobody's having fun anymore. And I will tell you that these are critical years of life to be out mixing with other kids, other people, and that has been shut down. So, yes, there are lots of comorbidities that go along with shutting down. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about depression, loneliness. Abuse is happening, and kids who have particular children who have special needs kids are not doing well either. So there is a long list of complications that occur when you quarantine and lock down people. Yeah, this is a big issue because people are afraid, not that their children are going to get particularly ill, because I think they're learning the truth that this infection is being tolerated well by children, but certainly they look at their environment, their particular unique family, and I think in some situations that may be an appropriate fear. However, I do think that as a general comment, a general rule through the country, kids can go back to school. Maybe a few kids here and there, their living situation, who they're being cared for, that can be a potential problem. But again, for younger children in particular, they're not the ones passing on the disease to the adults.
We're talking about we can't go to open our businesses, we can't go to school, and parents are scared to get treated. And I personally have put over 100 people on hydroxychloroquine prophylaxis. Doctors, teachers, people, healthcare workers, my staff, me. I see over 15 to 20, sometimes 20, 15, 10 patients a day. I use a surgical mask. I've not been infected. Nobody I know has been infected. That's around me. So this is the answer to this question. You want to open schools? Everybody get on hydroxychloroquine. That is the prevention for COVID. One tablet every other week is good enough. And that is what we need to get across to the American people. There's prevention and there is cure. We don't have to lock down schools. We don't have to lock down our businesses. There's prevention and there is cure. So instead of talking about masks, instead of talking about lockdowns, instead of talking about all these things, put our teachers on hydroxychloroquine. Put those that are high risk on hydroxychloroquine. Those that want it. If you want to catch COVID, that's cool. But you should be given the right to take it and be prevented. So that's the message. All this stuff that we're putting together is not necessary, because hydroxychloroquine has a prevention. It's called hydroxychloroquine is a prevention for COVID.
I keep hearing the drug, but then what is the right dosage? What is the right?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the fear of this drug has driven the whole political situation, has driven the fear towards this drug. So let's address that. This drug is super safe. It's safer than aspirin, Motrin, Tylenol. It's super safe. So what the problem is, in a lot of those studies, they did very, very high doses, massive doses. All through the country, they did the REMAP study, the Solidarity trial. That was the World Health Organization trial, and also the recovery trial. They use 2,400 milligrams in the first day. All you need is 200 twice a week for prophylaxis. They used massive toxic doses. And guess what they found out? When you use massive toxic doses, you get toxic results. The drug doesn't work when you give toxic doses, okay? It's a very safe drug. It concentrates in the lungs, 200 to 700 times higher in the lungs. It's an amazing drug because in the bloodstream, you're not going to get high levels, but you get massive levels in the lungs. So you're going to find yourself, if you're prophylaxed, as soon as the virus gets there, it's going to have a hard time getting through because the hydroxychloroquine blocks it from getting in. And then once it gets in, it won't let it actually replicate. It'll actually bring in zinc, and zinc will mess up the copy machine called the RDRP. So with the combination of drugs, it's incredibly effective in the early disease. By itself, it's incredibly effective as a prophylaxis.
I want to emphasize on something that Dr. Erza just said, because I love the question. This is a treatment regimen that's very simple, and it should be in the hands of the American people. The difficult aspect of this is that at the moment, because of politics, it's being blocked from doctors prescribing it, and it's being blocked from pharmacists releasing it. They've been empowered to overrule the doctor's opinion. Why is this not over-the-counter, as you can get it in much of the world, in almost all of Latin America, in Iran, in Indonesia, in sub-Saharan Africa? You can just go and buy it yourself. And the dose, my friends, is 200 milligrams twice in a week, and zinc daily. That's the dose. I'm in favor of it being over-the-counter. Give it to the people. Give it to the people.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. James Thinnard. I just want to add a couple comments to what Dr. Gold was saying. If it seems like there is an orchestrated attack that's going on against hydroxychloroquine, it's because there is. When have you ever heard of a medication generating this degree of controversy? A 65-year-old medication that has been in the World Health Organization's safe essential list of medications for years. Okay, it's over-the-counter in many countries. And what we're seeing is a lot of misinformation. So I co-authored the first document on hydroxychloroquine as a potential treatment for coronavirus. This is back in March, and that kind of kicked off a whole series of a storm on it. Since then, there's been a tremendous amount of censorship on doctors like us and what we're saying, and a number of us have already been censored. That Google document that I co-authored was actually pulled down by Google, and this is after now many studies have shown that it is effective and it is safe. You still can't read that article. And there's also this misinformation out there, and unfortunately, this has reached the highest orders of medicine. In May, there was an article published in The Lancet. So this is one of the world's most prestigious medical journals in the world. The World Health Organization stopped all their clinical trials on hydroxychloroquine because of this study. And it was independent researchers like us who care about patients, who care about the truth, that dug into the study and determined that it was actually fabricated data. The data was not real. And it was we did this so convincingly that this study was retracted by The Lancet less than 2 weeks after it was published. This is almost unheard of, especially for a study of this magnitude. So it's, you know, I apologize to everyone for the fact that there is so much misinformation out there and it's so hard to find the truth. And unfortunately, it's going to take looking in other places for the truth. That's why we formed frontline doctors here, to try to help get the real information out there. I'm Dr. James Todaro. Yeah, so most of my thoughts I actually publish on Twitter. Twitter has been great lately. So my name is James Todaro, MD, T-O-D-A-R-O, MD. But I also have a website, medicineuncensored.com, which contains kind of a lot of the information about hydroxychloroquine. I think is much more objective than what's going on in other media channels. So I'll go ahead and address that real quickly. I would say Facebook and YouTube have taken the most draconian measures to silence and censorship people. And this is coming from the CEO of YouTube as well as Mark Zuckerberg, saying anything that goes against what the World Health Organization has said is subject to censorship. And we all know the World Health Organization has made a number of mistakes during this pandemic. They have not been perfect by any means. Twitter, although they have some flaws and faults and flag certain content and stuff, they really still remain one of the freest platforms to share dialogue, intelligent discussion regarding this information, and many of us here today actually connected on social platform mediums like that.
I'm Dr. Joe Latipo. I'm a physician at UCLA, and I'm a clinical researcher also, and I'm speaking for myself and not on behalf of UCLA. I want to say that, so I'm thinking of the people who are behind the screens that are watching what you guys are broadcasting, and I want to share with you, because there's so much controversy and the atmosphere is so full of conflict right now, that what this group of doctors is trying to do fundamentally is really to bring more light to this conversation about how we manage COVID-19 and the huge challenge. That's what this is ultimately about. I'm sure people are listening to some of the discussion about hydroxychloroquine and wondering, what are these doctors talking about? And, you know, these are doctors that take care of patients, board certified, med school, great med schools, all of that. You know, how could they possibly be saying this? You know, I watch CNN and NBC and they don't say anything about this. And that's actually, it's the point. There are issues that are moral issues that really there should be a singular voice, you know. COVID-19 is not a moral issue. COVID-19 is a challenging, complex issue that we benefit from having multiple perspectives on. So it's not good for the American people when everyone is hearing one perspective on the main stations. There's no way that's going to serve us. You know, so the perspective most people have been hearing is that hydroxychloroquine doesn't work, right? That's the perspective that most people have been hearing on the mainstream television. And I believe that perspective too, until I started talking to doctors who had looked more closely, some of the physicians behind me here, who had looked more closely at the data and at the studies. It is a fact that several randomized trials have come out so far. That's our highest level of evidence, and have shown that hydroxychloroquine, their findings have generally been that there's no significant health benefit. So that's a fact that the randomized controlled trials have come out so far. In fact, there were two or three big ones that came out over the last 2 weeks in Annals of Internal Medicine, New England Journal of Medicine, and I think one other journal. It is also a fact that there have been several observational studies. So these are just not randomized controlled trials, but patients who are getting treated with this medication that have found that hydroxychloroquine improves outcomes. So both of those things are true. So there's evidence against it and there's evidence for it. It is also a fact that we are in an extraordinarily challenging time. Given those considerations, how can the right answer be to limit physicians' use of the medication? That can't possibly be the right answer. And when you consider that this medication, before COVID-19, had been used for decades, right, by patients with rheumatoid arthritis, by patients with lupus, by patients with other conditions, by patients who needed, you know, who were traveling to West Africa and needed malaria prophylaxis, we've been using it for a long time. But all of a sudden, it's elevated to this area of looking like some poisonous drug. That just doesn't make sense. And then when you add on to that the fact that we've had two of the biggest journals in the world, New England Journal of Medicine and Lancet, as my colleagues say, retract studies that found, interestingly, that hydroxychloroquine harmed patients. Both these studies. And they had to retract these studies, which really is unheard of. That should raise everyone's concern about what is going on. So at the very least, we can live in a world where there are differences of opinion about the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine, but still allow more data to come, still allow physicians who feel like they have expertise with it, use that medication, and still, you know, talk and learn and get better at helping people with COVID-19. So why we're not there is not good, doesn't make sense, and we need to get out of there.
I have seen 350 patients and counting, put them on hydroxychloroquine, they all got better. This is what I would say to all those studies. They had high doses, they were giving the wrong patients. I would call them fake science. Any study that says hydroxychloroquine doesn't work is fake science. And I want them to show me how it doesn't work. How is it going to work for 350 patients for me and they're all alive, and then somebody say it doesn't work? All them studies, fake science.
The zinc stops RNA polymerase, and it's used up by your cells in the normal fighting of COVID. So if you never took hydroxychloroquine, you'd still be zinc depleted. We're in a natural state of zinc depletion in the United States, but the COVID decreases your zinc even more, and you need it to fight off any virus. That's why your mom always said, take your zinc.
Now, the last part of the speech that they were giving, or lecture or talk or whatever it was, there was a question and answer period, and some of the doctors were answering some of the questions, and I just put a couple of the answers in there. I wanted to point out the fact that he was talking about zinc. What happens is the hydroxychloroquine basically, and I'm oversimplifying this, breaks the cellular structure up of the virus so that it cannot replicate, and then the zinc can go into it and destroy it. And then the antibiotic that you take, erythromycin or whatever they give, will kill whatever's left over. Zinc is vital. Zinc is vital, vital, vital. If you take zinc on a daily basis, your, you know how some people get a sick, they get colds or they get sick 3 or 4 times a year. You take zinc on a daily basis, 50 milligrams, 100 milligrams. Your time of sickness will either be, instead of being sick for 4 days, you'll be sick for one. Instead of getting sick for 4 times, 5 times a year, you'll get sick like 2 or 3 times a year. Zinc is vital. It breaks up viruses by itself. Hydroxychloroquine is something you would take. You can either take it prophylactically, like the doctors were talking about, because it's benign. It doesn't there are no secondary side effects. There's nothing to do with the heart. There is this. That's all fraud. That is all fake science. But the important thing is zinc. Everybody sells zinc. But Los Angeles, when they did testing years ago on the application of zinc, they discovered that the lozenges, which you put one in your mouth and suck on it, are highly, highly effective. And like we have lozenges here, they're like 10 to 15 milligrams per lozenge, but it's going into the sublingual glands and being absorbed directly into your system. There's all different ways to take the zinc, and it's vital. One of the doctors in the show, a paper that he wrote, basically an effective treatment for coronavirus, COVID-19. It's very simple, an effective treatment for coronavirus. I'll have a link to that document. All of this data is not easy to find. Everything's been suppressed. It's taken down as quickly as it's put up from all of these government-controlled, CIA-controlled, communist-controlled, Google, Facebook. They've even taken down whole websites. And let's see how long mine stays up. But I'll have all of that loaded up as soon as I can get to it. Now, we're going to get into the category of Trump. We've been listening to the communists in the United States scream about how it's not fair and he's a racist and Trump hates everyone and he's trying to steal the election and he won't leave if he's not elected, reelected. I mean, all of this crap, all right? This is the typical communist ploy. And they all want to do mail-in voting, right? Well, mail-in voting is not a very simple product. The U.S. Post Office has already came out and said it is a massive screw job if we try to do this. It'll get screwed up so bad it's ridiculous. In fact, some states have 20% people more registered to vote than live in that state. So this is the thing that's causing all of the confusion and the upset with most people. Now, the communists, they'll do anything they can to win. Democrats have been known for hundreds of years of cheating. Massive, massive cheating. The mail-in voting, I can give you a dozen different examples of different ways that it has been, shall we say, tweaked to benefit one politician or another, meaning tweaked to benefit a Democrat as opposed to a Republican or a conservative. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is the last election we're going to be able to have. Trump either wins and we get the country straightened out, or Trump loses and communism takes over full. No, there's no question about that. The Democrats are running Joe Biden, who is senile. They're afraid to even have him debate Trump because he can't keep two thoughts in the same head at the same time. And the only reason they're running him is because, well, he can breathe and walk and he does speak English, so they won't run a goat or a dog. So they're going to run him instead. And the person that he's going to pick as his vice president is going to be the next president, because he's not going to live. I'd be astounded if the guy doesn't commit suicide. We have this black racist named Craig Melvin on MSNBC. I've listened to him before. He is so flagrant in his hatred for whites and his hatred for America and his hatred for Trump. And, well, he's just so flagrant with his hatred. And he decides to interview a black Democrat who is backing Trump. He's trying to insult and blow this guy's whole thought process. It sort of ricochets.
You are an elected Democrat there in the state of Georgia, as I understand it, but yet you're supporting the Republican president's reelection bid. How is that going over in your district?
Obviously, my district knows about me. I've served as county executive. I've run a government. I've done things to move my county forward and the people, serve them well. Solid record of accomplishments. But this is not about politics. This is about putting your country before politics, putting your country before the party. President Trump is right on target with results. Prior to the pandemic, he had the best, and you know it, the best economy that we've had going back years and years and years. the Democratic Party chose to put
an economy, an economy that, that even many on the right have acknowledged that he inherited from the previous administration.
That's fake news.
We're not doing that.
If you look at the unemployment among African Americans during his years and during Obama years, clearly it was much better. If you look at opportunity zone districts, if you look at support and financial support to historical colleges, clearly it's better off under his administration than the previous administration. So, you know, I don't want to get in caught into politics.
Well,
just because I'm a Democrat, my party feels though that
I like to traffic in facts, and much of what you just said is patently false. But I do want to. Representative Jones. This is my show. I'll ask questions. Give me a second.
Well, you had me on your show.
I'm not cutting you off, but I do want to. Are you a paid campaign surrogate? Are you being compensated?
Let me be clear. You get paid to shape a liberal narrative. You get paid to attack this president.
I don't get a dime
for this president. I don't get a dime from the campaign. Everything I've done has been me and based on my principles. And see, that's the problem. When an African American that's elected,
Let me finish. Whoa. You're not going to imply that I asked that question because you're black.
So don't ask me that. You only ask me that because I don't fit your narrative. This president never offered anything. I don't want anything from this president. It's what I can do for my country. And you need to accept that many other African Americans and others support this president because of his policies.
So that kind of didn't go the way that racist wanted it to go. Have you guys been listening to the Trump ads? Their little 30-second or 60-second ads, and all they have to do to make a hard-hitting ad is wait for Biden to speak and then answer what Biden just said. And I listened to Biden last week talking about defunding this and changing that and charging this and costing that and blah, 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 and then Trump came out with this new ad.
You have reached the 911 police emergency line. Due to defunding of the police department, we're sorry, but no one is here to take your call. If you're calling to report a rape, please press 1. To report a murder, press 2. To report a home invasion, press 3. For all other crimes, leave your name and number, and someone will get back to you. Our estimated wait time is currently 5 days. Goodbye.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
All right, now we're going to get into the topic of today, and that's going to be CBD, cannabidiol. This comes from the hemp plant. I wanted to talk to you about it. I haven't talked to you about it for a while, and it is a product now that we've been selling it for a couple years that we're finding is almost pure magic. CBD comes from the hemp plant, not the marijuana plant. As you know, I'm an investigative journalist, and I dig deep into stuff. We've been in survival enterprises. We've been in business over 35 years. I've seen every scam, every con job, every multi-level marketing, every new green moose slime, all kinds of weird crap pops up. And most of it is just that, weird crap that's just some fad, and people fall for it. People fall for anything, believe me. And that's where the con jobs come in. Well, when I started seeing the CBD, and this is a couple years ago, I started to research it. As a kid, we actually knew a man down the street. Now, I was confused about marijuana and hemp. They were the same thing. This is what the government wants you all to believe. So this guy down the street from us, he was a nice guy. I don't know how old he was. He was a beatnik. But all the parents on the street used him as a babysitter. He had one of them aluminum cigar holders that he kept in his pocket, and in it was this giant fat roach. I don't mean a cockroach. I mean a joint made out of marijuana. And once in a while, he'd open it up, light it up, take a hit off of it, and put it back in that thing. You know, you put it in, close the cap on it, and it puts it out instantly. Well, he told us one time what that was, and the parents didn't quite care about it as long as it wasn't done in front of the children. He had cancer, and he was dying, and he would take that for the pain. Well, that's doing that kept him alive 5 years longer than they thought he'd live. So that's when I was like 8 years old, 10 years old. So all these years, I remembered that. And then one time, I think I was 16 or 17 years old, me and my friend Bernie were in Sacramento in the Delta there, and we'd gone about 5 miles inland where there was just barely a path. And he said, I know where a marijuana plant is. I go, what? He goes, yeah, I know where the place is where they grow marijuana. I go, are you kidding me? He said, nope, let's go get one. So we go there, And he goes into the bush, comes out about 5 minutes later, dragging this 12-foot-long plant. It's got a stalk on it, about an inch, inch and a half in diameter at the base, and it has fronds that stick out about a foot, and it's 12 feet tall. And I said, that's not marijuana. And he goes, look at the leaf. It's marijuana. So okay, so we took it home and stripped all the leaves and off of the thing and hung them up in his garage to dry for a month. Then we ground them up, and he had a great idea. He was going to sell them, right, to school. So he sold 3 or 4 of these baggies full of this stuff, and people came back the next day and wanted their money back, saying, this is just some kind of weird plant. It ain't marijuana. So we smoked some of it, and sure as hell, it was not marijuana. It smelled like it, tasted like it, but it wasn't marijuana. We couldn't figure out what it was. So he threw all the stuff away. I kept the pole. I used that as a fishing pole for about 10 years. That thing had excellent, excellent play with it. It could bend easily. It wouldn't crack. Anyway, turned out that was hemp. Hemp is the mother plant, and these are things that I discovered over the time of my research. Hemp was the mother plant. It's been on Earth for millions of years. We're estimating about 3,500 to 4,000 years ago in China, the doctors wanted a better anesthetic than belladonna or some of the other herbs that they had. And they had noticed that when animals had eaten the leaves from the hemp plant, they become tired. So they started to play with it and realized it had certain properties. And the hemp plant has always been used for fabric. It's always been used for fabric. It's always been used for rope and twine and to smoke, just like people smoke tobacco now, and for incense and things like that. But they didn't realize there was any kind of medicinal properties to it. So they started to breed the plant, the hemp plant, so that it was higher in those medicinal properties. And at the same time, those properties were also hallucinogenic. That's where marijuana came from. Marijuana is not indigenous to Earth. It's a hybrid of the hemp plant. So they have the same leaves and the same fronds, but the stalk and how it grows is totally different. Marijuana plant, it's a bush. It's what it looks like. And it could be 10 feet tall, but a big bush thing. Hemp normally grows probably about 20 to 40 feet tall, and it's at its best 6 inches in diameter. That's what hemp is. Hemp, the internal fibers of the hemp plant, have been used to make fabric for 10,000 years. The Constitution of the United States is signed on, it's written on, hemp paper. In the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, everybody's uniform was made out of hemp. I had a pair of hemp sandals when I was a kid. We got out of Mexico. After 10 years of wearing them, I finally just threw them away because they didn't wear out. Sails were made from hemp. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that can be done with it. Well, so we're seeing all of this stuff pop up all over the United States. So I say, well, I need to get some real research, because when you go on the internet, all you find are cut and paste websites that claim their stuff's the best. It's the most bioavailable. It's the best prices. Blah 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 blah. So I said, no, I got to go to the horse's mouth. We discovered there was a meeting in Las Vegas of all the importers, and I'm saying to myself, importers? I thought this was U.S. product. Nope. The majority of it was imported out of China or the U.K. So we went there. This is all the manufacturers, all the importers, and we went to this meeting. And there were hundreds and hundreds of them there. And I got information from all of these people, and I realized, yes, it's imported. Most of it is. In the past 2 or 3 years, they have started to actually grow the hemp plant in the United States and process it here and isolate the CBD from it. And that's the word that I want you to understand, the term isolate. The hemp plant has over 750 nutrients in it, and counting. CBD, CBA, CBG, THC, and then there's a whole list. It's astounding what's in the hemp plant. But the cheapest way to market it is to isolate just the CBD from this plant. And pulling out the CBD from the plant is like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and only the janitor singing. So you've got this CBD isolate is what it's called. It literally looks like sugar. Because it's not an oil, it can be mixed with anything. It can be mixed with water. It could be put into vape cartridges. It could be made in doggy treats. It could do all kinds of stuff. It can do all kinds of stuff with this stuff. Except CBD isolate works on maybe 40% of the population. And out of that 40%, after a short period, your body's going to say, you know what? We're tired of you teasing us and fooling us, and we're not going to use this anymore. I mean, literally, your body will flatline on it, and it'll do nothing for you. CBD isolate is only a short-term thing. Now, I have a website, cbdsupply.us, and of course, that link will be on my show notes. And if you go there, at the top of the page, there's all kinds of links there, and I'm going to cover some of them. But the main thing about isolate is that it's so cheap, it's astounding. We're the first place in Idaho to sell CBD, and we're the only place in Idaho that sells full spectrum CBD. That means it has all of the ingredients in it. It has all 750 plus ingredients from the hemp plant in it. Now, it's obviously hemp, so it's the THC is negligible. It's in there, but you can't even find it with a test, which brings me to a point. There are two types of tests that are done to test you for marijuana or THC. One of the tests actually tests for the drug itself, THC. If you're tested with that test looking for THC and you take our product, it won't show up at all. The other test is the cheap dollar test over the dollar store. That test for plant residue. If you're tested for plant residue, it'll pop up. We've had three different times that it's popped up for different customers in the past few years, and all three times it was a false positive because they used the cheap test. But while we were down there in Las Vegas talking to all these people, meeting with all of the experts, we realized that these people are in it for money, period. I'm nothing wrong with that. I don't mind that. But we've been in business over 35 years because we're here to help people. I don't mind money. It really helps. But that's not why we're here. So we discovered that the majority of these places are creating CBD isolate products. And they call them oil, CBD oil. Well, it's not CBD oil, it's CBD isolate, but there's oil in there. I have in my, right out front in the showroom, in the store here, I have maybe 25 different bottles of various CBD isolate that people have brought in and told me, this crap don't work. And I just put them there for people to look at. And they all say on the label, CBD isolate. Now, there's some scams that are being pulled where they call it broad spectrum CBD. And what that is when you isolate CBD from the hemp plant and you go through a process. And this process is either ethanol process, which leaves residue, or it's a CO2 process, which leaves no residue. Regardless, so you have this isolate, but you have a sludge of all the rest that's left from the plant. Well, then they would take the rest of this sludge and mix it up together and call it broad spectrum. It's not real CBD. It's isolate mixed with plant material. CBD, to function as it's supposed to, has to be extracted properly. And we use a CO2 process because the ethanol process makes the stuff smell and taste like you got a dead skunk on the middle of the road for about a week, and then you fill its belly up with rotten eggs and then you shake it over your head. That's what it smells like with the ethanol extraction method. So when we got done with that meeting, I learned a lot of stuff, and I learned that any Joe Blow, in fact they do about 100 times a week, calls up one of the manufacturers and importers in San Diego and says, hey, I want a bottle that says Fred Lipschitz CBD juice. Okay, how many you want? And they just make up a label, throw it on there. And then you get these guys selling the CBD at barbershops and massage parlors and coffee huts and everywhere else you can dream of. And they have no clue what the hell they're selling. All they know is what the salesman gave them. We've done the research. Now, one of the things that I did, first thing I did was I found this clip. Now, I've heard a lot of different things about what CBD does. So I have a clip here that explains the history of it just a little bit. And then there's a couple other little clips about what people have done with this. And these things are what got my attention in the first place.
Hemp has a long and fascinating history. It is believed to have originated in China. Hemp features on 4,000-year-old Egyptian hieroglyphics. Records show it was used for fiber and medicine. It features highly in ancient Chinese history as an important food, fiber, and medicine. The first paper was even invented in China, and that was made from hemp. Europeans were already making hemp bioplastics over 2,000 years ago. The first book to come off a printing press was the Gutenberg Bible, 560 60 years ago. Due to the superior quality of hemp paper, pristine copies still exist today. The first three American presidents were all hemp farmers. The Declaration of Independence was even written on hemp paper. Why use up the forests, which were centuries in the making, and the mines, which required ages to lay down, if we can get the equivalent of forests and mineral products in the annual growth of the hemp fields, says Henry Ford. The world's first cars ran on sustainable, non-polluting hemp oil. In fact, Henry Ford built a hemp car that ran on that hemp oil. Its hemp bioplastic body panels made the car 30% lighter than a steel car and were so strong that they could not be dented with a sledgehammer. Some people may think hemp is something new, but they couldn't be more wrong. For 5,900 years, hemp has been Earth's most important commodity. It was only 80 years ago that it became the Earth's most persecuted commodity. Hemp is now returning to being Earth's most important commodity. It is Earth's most sustainable source of food, fiber, fuel, medicine, building materials, and many other things. Over 20,000 eco-friendly products can be made from hemp. These, plus thousands of other eco-friendly products, all from one plant. Prior to 1930s, our food, fuel, fiber, and medicine was natural, organic, and environmentally sustainable. Hemp can provide everything humans need to live comfortably, happily, and sustainably. Often called an alternative, hemp is in fact the primary, premium, preferred source of life's essentials. It is superior to modern-day sources of paper, building materials, fuel, plastic, food, and medicine. So if hemp is the solution to everything, why aren't we using hemp for everything now? By the time of World War I, in 1914, a new industry was emerging, synthetic chemicals. These men were heavily invested in petrochemicals and synthetic pharmaceuticals. They stood to lose a lot of money and control of industry if hemp was allowed to be used for food, paper, medicine, clothing, and fuel. So they orchestrated a plan to have hemp outlawed. Andrew Mellon used his political influence to have his nephew, Harry Anslinger, appointed as the director of the new Federal Bureau of Narcotics in the USA. He then launched a PR campaign to deceive consumers into thinking that cannabis was a dangerous drug. Anslinger created propaganda films such as Reefer Madness and Devil's Harvest to demonize cannabis. The movies and advertisements that Hearst published in his newspapers promoted various lies about cannabis. These included claims that cannabis was causing white women to have sexual relations with black men, causing teenagers to commit murder and suicide, causing black people to think they were as good as white people. They were successful at creating so much fear that it persuaded the US government to create new laws which prohibited cannabis in all its forms, which included hemp. Anslinger then used USA's influence of the United Nations to have cannabis banned in 150 countries. The synthetic chemical industry had now eliminated its number one competition. The outlawing of hemp and reliance on synthetic man-made sources of food, fuel, fiber, and medicine plunged Earth into a new age of unprecedented pollution, disease, and war. The rate that we are poisoning ourselves and the planet is out of control. Everyone viewing this presentation is in contact with synthetic chemicals right now. The foods you have eaten, any medications you take, any paper or plastic that you have touched, the clothes you are wearing, the cosmetics and personal care products you use, the air you breathe while traveling, all of these expose your body to chemicals that speed up the process of getting older and sicker. In recent years, Argentina has introduced farming of genetically modified foods and the widespread use of Monsanto's chemical weed killer Roundup. It is suspected that Roundup is to blame for the rapid increase in cancer and birth defects that occurred immediately after Roundup's introduction. In a recent interview, a representative of Monsanto claimed that Roundup was not to blame and that it was so safe you could drink a whole liter of it without being harmed. The interviewer asked the rep if he would drink Roundup. The rep said yes, he would. The interviewer, who had a container of Roundup hidden in the room, then offered him a glass of Roundup to drink. The Monsanto rep refused to drink it and said, "I'm not an idiot," and he terminated the interview. Days later, the World Health Organization announced official concerns that Roundup, the world's number one herbicide, could indeed cause cancer. Hemp produces materials that can replace all of the harmful products of our synthetic age. Hemp produces foods and medicines that support good health and reverse the damage created by toxins. The good news is that hemp is making a comeback and growing rapidly. People want an answer and are learning that the answer is hemp. The wall of persecution that has been holding hemp back for the last 80 years is like a dam that is now showing signs of cracking. This is Anthony Brenner. His daughter suffers from a rare genetic disease and cannot tolerate the toxic chemicals used in making most modern homes. So in 2010, he created USA's first hemp house for his family to live in. And this is no crude mud hut. Here are some of the benefits of building the house from hemp. Because hemp is pest, mold, and fire resistant, he saved 60% on home insurance. He's saving 50% on heating and cooling costs. Building from hemp increases the life of the home from 80 to 800 years. Hempcrete is non-toxic and actually filters existing toxins from the air. Hempcrete breathes, allowing more fresh air to permeate the inside of the house. Hemp is also carbon negative. Building with hemp actually cleans the environment. Hempcrete is recyclable. If you decide you want to change your house design, the hemp materials can be safely broken down and returned to the ground. And once you've built your hemp home, if you have any wood that needs to be protected from the elements, tests have proven that hemp oil-based wood treatments like Hemp Shield outperform the current best-selling chemical products. And buildings aren't the only thing that can be built from hemp. In Canada, this man is building an aeroplane from hemp. The result will be a plane that is lighter, yet stronger than a regular aeroplane, and will run on non-polluting hemp biodiesel. The Canadians are also making a car from hemp. The impact-resistant body panels are lighter than glass, but stronger than steel. And what would an electric hemp car be without batteries made from hemp? US scientists have discovered that the hemp stalk, when heated a certain way, turns into carbon nanosheets, which are more effective at holding electrical charge than any other known material. They're using it to create these supercapacitors, kind of space-age battery that may be charged instantly. And we've all seen clothes made from hemp, but how about hemp clothes that are rendered waterproof using cellulose extracted from hemp leaves? That's exactly what this Dutch company have done to their luxury hemp clothing range. As wonderful as some of these innovations are, the thing that is most accessible, most affordable, and offers the most immediate benefits is what hemp can do for your health. It is a unique source of food and medicine unlike anything else. Humans can't live without essential fatty acids, or EFAs for short. Hemp has more than any other food. It contains omega-3 and omega-6 in the ideal ratio for human health. Hemp is a better source of omega oils than fish oil. Hemp does not contain the heavy metal poisons that fish do. It doesn't quickly go rancid like fish oil, and producing hemp oil actually cleans the environment rather than polluting it. 60% of the human brain is made of omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acids. That's 30% each. To have the healthiest brain requires getting enough of these essential fatty acids in the right balance. Hemp is unique in that it is not only the highest source of these essential fatty acids, it's the only source to contain them in the perfect ratio. In his book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, Udo Erasmus calls hemp seed oil nature's most perfectly balanced oil. Like omega oils, humans can't live without essential amino acids. They are the building blocks of proteins and serve other metabolic functions in the body. Hemp protein contains twice as much essential amino acids as animal meat, and three times as much as chia seeds. Our immune system is built from edistin and albumin proteins. Hemp is the only protein source that consists exclusively of these two kinds of protein. Magnesium is the fourth most abundant mineral in your body. It is required for over 300 important processes in the body. It is especially important for detoxification, preventing headaches, diabetes, heart attacks, and strokes. Hemp is also a rich source of calcium and potassium, the two most abundant minerals in the body. As important as the essential fats, proteins, and minerals are, the most important of hemp's health benefits come from another unique group of nutrients known as cannabinoids. There are 500 natural chemicals found in the hemp plant. Approximately 100 of them are cannabinoids. These are the compounds you hear about on television being used for people suffering from epilepsy, cancer, pain, anxiety, and many other conditions. The most prominent cannabinoid in hemp, and the one that appears to have the greatest health benefits, is CBD. CBD stands for cannabidiol. Unlike THC, the dominant chemical found in marijuana, CBD is not psychoactive. It won't get you high. The reason cannabinoids like CBD are so important for the body is that the body has a system called the endocannabinoid system. Scientists are calling it one of the most important physiological systems involved in establishing and maintaining human health. It is a system of nerve and cell receptors throughout your body. They influence every system and process in the body. They give nerves the ability to send two-way communication, something that was previously thought to be impossible. These receptors are essential essential for maintaining proper function and balance. They are particularly important for recovery and repair. By supplying your endocannabinoid system with the cannabinoid nutrients it needs, you get the following benefits: antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-anxiety, antipsychotic, anti-epileptic, anti-cancer, anti-nausea, antibacterial, anti-diabetes, anti-arthritis, neuroprotective, cardioprotective, pain relief, bone stimulant, and immune modulator. One of the benefits that was recently discovered is CBD's ability to help you overcome addiction. In this research in the UK, scientists discovered that small doses of CBD dramatically reduced the cravings for cigarettes and reduced the anxiety that would ordinarily occur when someone stopped smoking. These results were clearly evident by the end of the first week of the experiment. In 2013, Australia, the driest inhabited continent on Earth, grew 1.1 million acres of genetically modified water-hungry cotton. If that same area of land had been used to grow hemp, each acre would have yielded up to 400% more fiber. That resulting fiber would have been of a higher quality. In addition to the fiber, it would have produced enough premium quality food to completely satisfy the protein, omega-3 and omega-6 needs of every single person in Australia for over 5 months. Over 2 million megalitres, that's 2 million million litres of water, would have been saved. Millions of litres of pesticides and herbicides would not have been added to Australia's air, soil and water. Genetically modified organisms would not have been introduced to Australia's ecosystem. Our focus is growing as much certified organic hemp seeds in Australia for our needs and for export. Eating hemp foods is permitted in most countries in the world, including Japan, North America, and Europe. THC, the drug ingredient, is not allowed or contained in these foods in any psychoactive amounts. In fact, the regulators say that hemp foods are safe, non-psychoactive, valuable nutrition, and no, you won't fail a drug test also. Right now, it's the perfect time to get behind hemp. If you're not already, start using hemp products today. Each time you do, you will be benefiting yourself and the planet and providing resources to all these hardworking industries you've just heard about so that they may continue to provide more and better products for us all to benefit from together.
3-year-old Landon Riddle developed a sore throat and swollen lymph nodes one night. It was likely just a virus, his doctors thought, but the reality ended up being much worse. Acute lymphocytic leukemia, or ALL. It's a cancer of the blood and bone marrow. It's one of the most common cancers in children. It's also one of the most treatable, but the therapy was going to be tough.
They started him on chemo, but told us that he probably wasn't going to make it, that he only had like an 8% chance to live 24 to 48 hours.
The chemo made the little boy very sick. Nauseated, vomiting, barely able to walk or talk. His mother, Sierra, wanted to try anything to help and eventually found medical marijuana. Now again, Landon is just 3 years old. They'd come from Utah, where medical marijuana was not legal, to Colorado, where it was. And for Landon, it seemed to work. He rebounded, able to eat, sleep, just be a kid. But Sierra told us something else, something surprising. She believed that the marijuana was healing him, not just from the ravages of chemo, but from his cancer as well.
I think that chemo in combination with cannabis did put him into remission, and now cannabis will keep him there.
Sierra was so sure of marijuana's healing properties that 6 months after her son started the treatments, she decided to stop his chemotherapy altogether. Her argument, the chemo was too toxic and the cannabis was not. She said the doctors were stunned at her decision.
The options were to either, you know, voluntarily agree to the chemo and steroid plan for the next 3 years or to refuse it, in which they would take us to court and have it court ordered anyways. And the possibility of them removing Landon from my care would come into play at that point.
So Riddle found a lawyer willing to take on the case. Attorney Warren Edson.
It didn't appear she was doing anything wrong other than just being a mom and trying to do what's in the best interest of her kid.
In an effort to avoid a court battle, Riddle, her mother Wendy, and Edson met with Landon's doctors and Child Protective Services.
They said they were willing to work with us. They said they were willing to alter the chemo plan, and they're not. They did not do that at all.
And that's not surprising. While many mainstream doctors do support the use of cannabis to offset the side effects of chemotherapy, as things stand now, no doctor would recommend cannabis instead of chemo. But there is a growing body of promising research. Dr. Julie Holland is the editor of the Pot Book.
It turns out it actually fights the cancer itself.
You're a doc. You've studied this. You've talked to the researchers. Marijuana can kill cancer cells.
I'm saying that, and there are many other researchers who are saying that too.
We've got lung samples from our treated mice.
Like San Francisco researchers, Pierre Desprez and Sean McAllister, who say they've seen firsthand what the cannabis compound cannabidiol, or CBD, can do. In their lab, they use CBD to kill mice and human cancer cells. We asked the American Cancer Society what they thought about all of this, and in a statement to CNN, they said, there is no available scientific evidence from controlled studies in humans that cannabinoids can cure or treat cancer. Even Landon's doctor, who prescribed his marijuana and is a firm believer in medical cannabis, is cautious about this.
Sierra has decided to stop the chemotherapy for Landon. I mean, as a doctor, and as a doctor who's seen his progress, is that something you would be on board with, that you recommend?
As a physician, again, I'm not sure that I could recommend that to a parent, to say, I can't say to them, I know that the CBD is a treatment that can work and you don't need the chemotherapy.
For the time being, Sierra Riddle is afraid of losing her son. So she is allowing chemotherapy once a month. She's also still trying to find an oncologist willing to take Landon off the chemo. So far, she's had no luck. But Sierra and her mother aren't giving up.
I want Landon to know that we did everything in our power to be compassionate in his care and to protect him. I want him to know that we were willing to go to bat. He's a three-year-old child.
On CBDSupply.us, that's the page that I set up, the website that I set up for our brand of CBD. Now, let me tell you why we sell what we sell. I wanted full spectrum. I wanted the product to be real, not to be one of these synthetic derivative of isolate. I don't want any of that crap. I wanted real CBD oil. We're the first place in the state of Idaho to sell it. So after the research, I wanted somebody who knew what they were doing. I wanted two products. I wanted, first, there's different types of hemp plants, and I wanted the same hemp plant from two separate places. I wanted the cherry hemp is what it's called. So I found a person in Colorado that was the very first person in the United States to get a license to grow hemp for health purposes. And this was hers. It's a woman farmer. And then I wanted somebody else growing the same breed in the eastern part of the United States. So I found a guy in Kentucky. His family's grown hemp for 300 years. So I had to teach them both. I was the first customer of this woman in Colorado, and the guy in Kentucky, I was his like third or fourth customer. So I had to teach them both how to make my formula, and I follow the KISS formula, as you well know. Keep it simple, stupid. So the Kentucky formula, he uses MCT oil. That's medium chain triglycerides, or it's coconut oil that's been stripped of smell and taste. So you have MCT oil and CBD. That's it. Colorado lady, she wanted a little different. She put organic hemp seed oil, and it comes out of Canada, and it is 100% organic, and CBD. That's it. And the mint he grows in Kentucky, he has one, it's called Kentucky Mint, and he grows some organic mint on a property. So I have him add mint to some of the product that we get out of there. And we also have capsules, and we have a very potent salve. And I got to tell you, our biggest seller is Critter Care. This stuff works on all mammals, including dogs, horses, cats, sheep, goats. I mean, you name it. It works on it. 4th of July, the moron commie governor that we have here in Idaho banned everything, including the fireworks. So what happens? Well, we got two different Indian reservations right near us. So everybody went out and bought their own mortars and bombs and rockets and all of that good stuff. So the fireworks were astounding. They're better than the paid for ones. People come in by the Critter Care. They give their dog, about 5 drops, 10 drops in the morning. Dog, when the fireworks goes off, just kind of looks up and goes, yeah, that's cool, thanks. It doesn't turn you into a doped-up druggie. It just sort of stabilizes the neurological system. It's actually called the endocannabinoid system. And on the website, you'll find it. We have links at the top of the page. That's so you can't use the excuse of, I couldn't find your links. Like, why use Seeds of Life CBD products? Well, click on that, you'll get the answer. And then there's a link to explain the endocannabinoid system, and it's akin to the neurological system, but it only functions with cannabis oil or CBD. And then there's an actual warning on CBD isolates. There are medical studies on CBD. This is to a medical research website. And right now, the last time I looked, there were about 2,900 searches or 2,900 results. The endocannabinoid system and its modulation by cannabis oil. Okay, now there is 3,200 results there. These are all medical studies. And then I have a link that's the history of hemp, and that's kind of cool. It goes back thousands and thousands of years, and it talks about how it's been used, and they found it in a vase or a pot that had been made about 10,000 years ago, and after it had been made with clay, it was wrapped with braided hemp fabric so that it could stay strong. And then I have an article there. If you read my article, you'll know more than 95% of the people in the United States. CBD, the history, the reality, and Barnum and Bailey. So that's the website. CBD, let me tell you what I have seen in the past 2 years that we've been selling our CBD. We have people come in here with fibromyalgia. Talk to them a little bit. They buy some of this stuff, and they use it according to my instructions. And they come back and say, oh my God, most of my symptoms have disappeared. Now, this is not a silver bullet. Not even. We have people who have neurological, and I don't even remember what they call it. I've had half a dozen people with the same symptoms but different names. Basically, your skin becomes like diabetes, get neuropathy from the knees down usually, and it feels like it's always pain, sharp, burning, prickling. And we have people who have that over their whole back, over their whole body, from the knees down, what have you. They get on a regime of the CBD oil. And after a week, 2 weeks, the pain is lessened or gone. We have people who are suffering from PTSD, anxiety, suicidal tendencies. In other words, they're on the serotonin moderators that they're given by the psychiatrist. So instead of taking those drugs, which cause you to become homicidal or suicidal, they take CBD. And the weird thing is, they just buy the $25 bottle and that's all they need. So we have people who have arthritis. And in the hands, in the shoulders, in the back, in the hips, in the knees, they get the CBD and they take it every day. And it lessens the pain tremendously. And they aren't a drugged out idiot during the day because they're not taking the pills the doctors give them. And then people who can't get to sleep or they can't sleep well, they use the CBD. Now, the CBD, you always take it under your tongue because true CBD, and I mean true CBD, your stomach acid will destroy about 75% of it. So when you're driving down the street and you see CBD doggy treats, CBD nano water, CBD cookies, CBD, I mean, all of this crap. Those people are flat in it for the money because they have no idea what they're selling. It's all isolate. It all barely works, if it works at all. You want full spectrum. You have to be able to understand. You've got to read my article so that you understand how you can tell the difference between, Schumer and Shinola. You got to be able to tell the difference, all right? Otherwise, you'll end up getting ripped off. We got a new store opened up north of here, and a lady comes in, and she says, oh, yeah, they opened up, and they're selling CBD for a one-ounce bottle. It's 500 milligrams, and it's special. It's special. It's special. It's nanoparticle-sized, blah, 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 all this crap. It's only $129.95 for a one-ounce bottle. I said, really? Interesting. 500 milligrams, huh? Here's 500 milligrams, $50. And this is real. This is what's happening all over the U.S. And people don't know. Knowledge is power. To the degree you know a subject, to that degree you can't be ripped off or confused. So that when you take CBD oil, it goes under your tongue because you're not going to digest it. You're going to absorb it. You have glands under your tongue that absorbs things. This is why it's vital that you keep your teeth cleaned. I mean, this sounds funny and weirdly, like, how the hell does that happen? People who have heart attacks, the doctors will look in their mouths and they will determine that there's massive biological growth in there because they're not brushing their teeth properly. Because you have these glands under your tongue that absorbs everything. Keep your teeth clean. Keep your mouth clean. That's why we sell the best toothpaste in the world here at Survival Enterprises. You put it under your tongue, 2 minutes. Your glands are kind of like a sponge. A sponge will absorb only as much liquid as it can. And then everything else just runs off it. So your glands. So you put whatever your dose is. It could be 10 drops. It could be 20 drops. And by the way, you don't have to count the drops out because this ain't rocket science. It's a quarter eyedropper, third of an eyedropper, half an eyedropper, or all of the Colorado products that we carry have graduated droppers on them. So the question's moot. You can tell first line, second line, third line, whatever. Goes under your tongue, 2 minutes. That's it. If you want to get to sleep, you want to stay to sleep, Now, you know, there's a lot of variables behind the person who says, I just can't sleep at night. First off, I'm going to tell you a secret. Everybody goes to sleep and wakes up in 4 hours. That's Earth. Sorry, but it's designed that way. You will wake up in 4 hours. Most people don't even know that. They'll just kind of and roll over. But a lot of us, in 4 hours, click, we're awake, and we're laying there going, now why the hell am I awake? Body, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? You got to go to the bathroom? What? You want to drink a water? What? So what this does is it helps stabilize your neurological system to the point where it's not annoying you enough for you to come up to full consciousness. That's how it works. I've had people come in and they say, no, I can't sleep over 4 hours. There's no question, no ifs, ands, or buts. Can't do it. And they get one of the different doses of CBD and they take it and they come back in a week and go, oh my God, I sleep like a log. In fact, I got to have an alarm now. So everybody's different. And that's the whole key behind this. This is not a silver bullet. This is not magic. This is a real product that helps many people. And if somebody says, well, it doesn't work for me, that's not a problem. It doesn't work for you. Sometimes you got nothing wrong. So there's nothing going to change. You know, if you're in excellent health and nothing hurts and you take CBD. Now, when I say CBD, I don't mean the crap you find driving down the street. I mean mine. If you take CBD and nothing changes, it could be because you got nothing broke. But if you do have a problem, and it could be all kinds of different problems, everything from muscle spasms to arthritis in the shoulders, hands, wrists, elbows, anxiety, PTSD, I mean, all these different things, and everything you can find on the website cbdsupply.us, if you have a problem and this doesn't address it in any way, shape, or form, you're either not taking enough or your body just says, nah, not what I need. And that's when you come back in and we talk about it and try and put you on something else or point you in a different direction. CBD, a true CBD oil, is something everybody should have. It helps build your immune system. It's like our oregano oil to a degree. It helps build your immune system. It helps calm you down. You take this stuff and people ask you, what kind of reactions do you have? Well, the reaction I have, and I have on your rotator cuffs, on your shoulder, you have four major tendons there. My top one has a radical tear in it. I'm not supposed to be able to move my shoulder and my arm. Guess what? I do, because I take this stuff. When I take it, I forget I have a pain. And this is what people tell me it's like. Like somebody's really upset, anxiety, you know, can't go out in public, blah, blah, blah. They take a dose, and in a little while, they actually forget about their problem. It's not like when you're taking a drug and you go, wow, dude, I can feel that kicking in. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's just, you forget. You forget you got a problem. Now, I know I have pain there. I know I'm not going to do anything stupid, because if I do, it'll hurt like hell. But it's not impinging on me. And the same thing with people's knees and hips and elbows. And then we have a salve, and the salve comes out of the Cherokee Nation in Kentucky. It's hemp root, hemp seeds, and they have been using that for thousands of years. It's slime, in other words. I mean, it is slime. So my farmer adds jojoba oil and beeswax to thicken it up. And when I said I wanted to start carrying it, but I want CBD added to it, he said, why? You don't need it. That this stuff works phenomenal just like it is. But I put CBD in it anyway because I don't want it just to kill the pain. I want it to help heal. And that's what CBD does. You heard the recording. It helps heal. I had two people in here yesterday that were diagnosed with some kind of epilepsy. One of them had just been diagnosed. He'd had about 30 episodes and he'd just been diagnosed. So we talked for a while and I put him on a certain regime. And then we had another woman. She comes in all the time. And she said she used to have a seizure once a week, and she's been taking this now for 6 months, and she's had one seizure. Just one. And then I can't tell you how many people with dogs with seizures. One woman has a Dalmatian, and it's a purebred. And, you know, unfortunately in the United States, most of the dogs here are genetically diluted, and they've been crossbred so much it's dangerous. This Dalmatian would have a seizure on a daily basis. It now has a seizure once a month. So she comes in, and you give it to the animal every single day. You get a dog with hip dysplasia, arthritis in the hips. You start giving this to it, and don't be surprised what happens. Woman comes in and has a 13-year-old lab, 75 pounds, paralyzed from the middle of its back. It wears diapers. It drags itself around the house. And she, in tears, is telling me how she doesn't want to put it down. She wants it to die in her arms, and she just wants it not to have pain. She just doesn't want the pain anymore. So I got $25 for a bottle of Critter Care, and I gave it to her, and she left. The next week she comes in, and she goes, I don't think it's going to die. I'm not going to laugh, you know, but even though it was funny. And I said, what's going on? Well, I started giving it to her. In 3 days, she was up in her hind legs. She was up. She was tottering around like she used to. And in a week, she's now out in the backyard moving around and playing with the other dogs. She still has to wear a diaper because her bladder is not under control. But she goes outside and goes to the bathroom now. Okay, this is magic to her. And the people who have a German Shepherd who had hip dysplasia so bad they were thinking of putting it down. It was only 10 years old. This is magic to them. $25. You know, I'm supposed to screw them and say, $100. Here, $100. No, we're not. You know, I hate to say this because I like money. We're not here for the money. We're here to help people. So that's what we do. All right, so cbdsupply.us. You can go there, or you can go to se1.us, Samuel Edwards, numeral 1.us, and you can find the CBD products on there. You can find the oregano oil on there, which is back in stock now for we don't know how long, all right? Remember, it comes out of Turkey, and they stopped exports for a while. So you can find the CBD. If you got questions, give us a call, 310-295-9686. 310-295-9686. I'll be sending out an email to all of our customers, probably tomorrow, telling everyone the oregano oil is back in stock. Anyway, I don't know what else to say. So I hope it gave you, I hope it entertained you. Hope it gave you stuff to think about. Just, and I'm going to end every show the same way. Situational awareness. Pay attention to what's happening around you. We're under attack by the communists in the United States. All conservatives are. And the funny part is, even the communists are under attack by the communists. The mayors of Portland and Denver and Minneapolis, their houses have all been graffitied on. A commie hates everyone that's not them, like a Muslim. Oh, well, you keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. Pay attention. This is the Armchair Survivalist, signing off.